Welcome to the Real Estate Hustle Podcast. My name is Andre Chin, broker owner, real estate investor, mega agent, and real estate coach. We're going to be tackling all things real estate, bringing you guests from all across North America, mega agents, mega teams. We're going to be diving deep into their businesses to figure out how they got to where they are and how they consistently bring that hustle into their business every single day. Buckle up, our podcast starts now. All right, everyone. Thanks for joining us again for another episode of the Real Estate Hustle Podcast. Today, I've got a great friend and business colleague, Marcia Grove from the Grove Real Estate Team. We're going to talk about all things in Marcia's business. We're going to get to know her at a really high level. And she's going to share some of her successes, some of her wins. And we all know there's some trials and tribulations to get to this point. So I'm really excited. Marcia, welcome and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. I'm excited.
Awesome. Can you tell the listeners at home just a little bit about you, kind of how you got into real estate and where you are today?
Yeah. So I got into real estate because a friend of mine who used to work in the corporate world with me got licensed, I think, 3 years prior. And for those 3 years, kept telling me, you've got to do this. There's great parallels between between the corporate world and what we do as realtors at Keller Williams. And I just thought, what? Go to a straight commission job? Are you nuts? I'm going to be a VP. I'm climbing the corporate ladder. I'm not, like, there's no way I would do that. And then, so fast forward 3 years, when I had her over for coffee and she just opened my eyes more to the world of real estate and entrepreneurship and working for yourself. And she could tell that I was, not 100% happy with what I was doing anymore. And it was actually her that made me realize, yeah, they're sucking my soul. And what am I doing this for? What am I working, 50, 55 hours a week for? So she connected me with the team lead at that time at Keller Williams. So Ryan and I went and had a meeting with him because she's like, if I can't convince you, he will convince you that this is the right move for you. So after an hour meeting with him, we realized, yeah, we have to find a way to make this work. So that was December of 2015. And then January of 2016, I enrolled for my first course and have never looked back. I tried to do the courses while working. And I found it tricky. So May of 2016, I left my corporate world and just studied and took the summer to focus on my health and all of that. And then got licensed that October. And I started that October. And here I am 4 years later. And I could pinch myself because I have a completely different life. And it's been fun. It's been challenging. But in all the good ways,
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah. And so, yeah, Ryan and I, we started our team about 2 months ago now, Marcia Grove Realty Team. And we have, there's five of us. And it's so exciting now that we're at that point that we're building our team and building our business. And evolving with everything that we've learned these past 4 years. And then prior to that, in both of, our corporate careers, Ryan and I, the type of freedom that we want and that we want for our team. And yeah, it's just exciting. And we're building it together with our team, which is,
wow.
Which I think is, yeah, which is, was the goal. We didn't want it to be like, this is our team. And, this is what you have to do and all of that. It's we're learning and growing together and it's going really well so far.
That's incredible. So I heard you mention Ryan and just so everyone knows, Ryan's your hubby, your partner in crime through everything.
Yeah.
And I've had the opportunity to obviously sit with you both a number of times. And I don't know that I necessarily realized that you both took the leap from stable, steady paychecks and came into a full commission, no guarantee job. Right. And you guys, I mean, I've seen the awards. I know you guys are doing some incredible things. And what I really heard out of that was we're living the life that we want. Would you say that's fair?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And when I decided I wanted to become a realtor, he was totally on board. But when working in the corporate world, I was 23 years in that career. So by that point I was kind of broken and really burnt out. My adrenals were affected. I wasn't well, and I had to get out. I couldn't physically get myself out of bed to go to work. It was something I've never felt before. And I'm one that I have to be all in and passionate about what I'm doing, or I can't do it. It's almost like I repel it. My body won't let me do it. And that's what it was. I lost my passion for what I was doing. And when I quit, it stressed him out. I'm the risk taker. He is the play it safe, status quo guy. And poor guy. Financially, because I was the primary breadwinner for the majority of our relationship, because I got into sales and climbed that corporate ladder. And that allowed him to pursue things he wanted to do, not what he had to do. And which was great, because as we were raising our kids, he was the one that was able to take time off. And our kids have never been in daycare between my in-laws and my husband. So that's just the natural progression of our relationship. We've been together 25 years. And so when I was like, I got to quit, he's like, well, no income, it actually caused some stress in our relationship, because I'm so stubborn. It's a blessing and a curse. And I was like, no, because I saw the bigger picture. And I said, I'm willing to take some steps backwards in order to take giant leaps forward. And I just knew, I didn't know how, but I knew that this was the key and the answer for us to have the life that we want.
Right.
Right. And not living paycheck to paycheck. And, you know, that carrot dangling in front of you in the corporate world, if you do a better job, you work more hours, you hit more goals, you're going to achieve A, B, and C. And I was like, I'm done with that. And so 8 months in, I had to ask Ryan to quit his job, because I needed his help with the administrative and the tech side of what I was doing, because there's a lot of administrative stuff in what we do. Right. And learning. And what I love about Keller Williams is the systems. They teach you the systems and the tools. They're there so that you know what it takes to be successful, as long as you execute it. You know, it's one thing to know it, but you actually have to execute it. That I was like, I need to spend more time on the money-making activities. I need support. And he was coming home from work and doing my tech stuff and admin stuff and weekends. And we just didn't really have that work-life balance. So I said, you got to quit your job. It took him 6 weeks to quit his job, because he's like, but that's your income, right? Like, what do you mean? And then he started realizing, like, the more you take off my plate, I can do more of the money-making stuff. So he finally did. And then he worked for me full-time as an administrator for, I think, a year and a half, I want to say. And then June of 2019, he got his license.
Wow.
Because I was like, if you get your license, you can actually have those conversations with people. You can do showings. You can do home inspections. You can, you know, do all of those things that I don't necessarily need to be there for. So that, again, I can focus on listings. I can focus on, you know, all of the money-making stuff. And since he quit his job, we have graphs and everything to show how our business has gone since 2016. And it's like,
right. Straight up. Yeah.
Straight up. Yeah. And since he's been licensed, it's just incredible. It's incredible to see. So he's having a lot of fun too. And, you know, he jokes with me every now and then. He's like, you saved me from the corporate, you know, whatever, because, you know, I opened that door because I dreamed big.
Absolutely.
And I didn't stay back and play it safe, which is how he was raised. And, you know, that's what his parents did their whole lives. And as long as you are making honest living,
you're okay. You
know, you're okay. You're contributing to society and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, screw that. I don't care. We're going to, you know,
you're the rebel. I'm hearing it. Marsh is the rebel in the group.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good, thank you. There you go. Just nailed it.
Well, and that's not a bad word, right? I mean, I think we're raised to think, and, you know, we both have kids, and, you know, you hear that growing up that, oh, you don't want to be the rebel and you don't want to be that side of the world and get the job and follow follow the path. And here you are, you know, breaking boundaries, and not only doing it after 25 plus years of being in another industry and starting over new. For anyone listening, what's that like? I mean, I give up the job,
I don't even have the license yet, and I'm just all in from day one. Like, how do you get your mindset there? How did you even get the courage to just jump and to do that?
You know, yeah, I know. I have someone right now that will be joining the team, and he's leaving his 23-year corporate career, and it's taking him months to do it, even though I'm like, just dive in, just jump in. But I have to remember, not everyone is like me, right? I didn't have a choice. It wasn't that I had to get my mindset right. It was almost like the universe was propelling me forward, and I was physically not well from because I had lost my passion for what I was doing. And in the corporate world, you know, at least in my experience, the more you give, the more they expect and the more they take. And it's not that you get paid any more money for it, or you get more vacation or anything like that. They just expect. And for a while I loved it because I love recognition and I love, you know, the accolades in the, oh, you're amazing. You know, train this person, train that person. I was known for, you know, being one of the top salesperson and training salespeople and managers and all this kind of stuff. But after a while, I get to the point that I was like, why am I training salespeople for other
companies,
locations, when they have managers that should be training them? But because I had been there so long, nobody was as experienced as me. And it just started to wear on me. And then it affected my health. So it wasn't that I had to get my mindset. It was, I got to get out of here so that I can get well, right, spend the summer doing yoga and going for nature walks and studying. And studying was not easy for me. I didn't go to university. I didn't have those study habits that a lot of people make it look easy, right? Like, it was hard for me to do the studying. I studied hours and hours and hours and hours. And I'm not one that retains something the first time I read it, you know? So it's very challenging for me. So I knew that I just needed to stop working because it was too much for me to do both when I wasn't 100% well.
Right. Well, and I mean, so you get in, you got this career started, you're licensed. And I mean, I know you're still doing the nature walks and you're still taking care of your mental health and your physical health, which is amazing. What's those first 8 months like for you that you've got to go back to Ryan and say, hey, you're coming in? How do you go from zero to essentially 100 in such a short time that you immediately need administrative help and support? Like, what were you doing?
Yeah. You know what? I was cold calling. Even before I got my license, I started on a team and I was cold calling. About a month and a half before actually getting my license, I started in the industry because I wanted to get my feet wet so that when I had my license, I could dive right in and start building my database. And I didn't have a big sphere because in my previous career, we had a contract that we signed that we could not recruit for any business, not just the same industry, but for any business, we could not recruit from customers or the staff. So I'm starting from scratch. And I started cold calling every single day, 5-6 days a week. And then when I became licensed, I already had some people in my database that I could follow up with. But it was cold calling and open houses. Once I became licensed, doing open houses every single weekend.
Right.
So I tried very hard to take Fridays off. And I did bold in my first month as well. And that was really helpful for mindset. I really think that had I not done bold, I still would have done well. I just don't know that I would have done it to that level, because bold does help you get over yourself and help you realize that it's not about you. It's about the customer. Right. And there's a lot of emotions involved, especially when you don't have a year's worth of bills and expenses saved. You know, there's a lot of, and when you have that stress and that emotion, it's hard to think straight. Right. So bold was really, really helpful for that. And once I learned what a bold 100 was, I love challenges. I'm not afraid to challenge myself beyond what I think I'm capable of. Right. So I was like, oh, they say do a bold 100 every week. I'm going to do it two or three times a week. And so I did. I'm like 100 contacts a week. Let's do 300 contacts a week. And that's, I did that probably for a year and a half straight.
Wow.
To build my business. Yep. And I'm not one either where, oh, I have to learn all of my scripts first before I make my first phone call or go on my first appointment. I remember getting my first listing appointment, my heart beating through my chest going, holy shit, what do I do now? And I'm knocking on doors of senior agents. I remember Dave Roach and Roy Cleaves. I'm knocking on their doors. I have a listing appointment. They're like, good for you. I'm like, what do I do?
What do I do? Yeah.
I have no idea what to do, right? And, oh, sit down. And they like gave me the listing presentation and role played with me what to say. And I'm writing everything down. Like, so that support was everything. And I would go and I would just wing it. Now I have a strong sales background, so that helped. I know how to build rapport and ask questions. And, you know, the person who's asking the questions is the one in control. And you're overcoming objection. You stop talking and all of that was there. But for me, it was the confidence of, I know my former industry. Mm-hmm. What's going to make them hire me? Because I'm a brand new realtor.
Absolutely.
So I had to get over that really quick. That they don't need to know that I'm a brand new realtor, and they don't know that I'm a brand new realtor. So act as if. Okay. So I had to get that going really quickly. And I think my conversion rate, because I've been tracking and measuring my numbers from day one. And I think my conversion rate maybe was 50% on my appointments. Which I feel like when you're brand new and you're just winging it, that's pretty good.
Pretty good, right? 50-50
yeah.
out of the gate?
Yeah, I think so. Because it puts that foundation. Yeah. And
And I don't think you're giving yourself enough credit, Marcia. I mean, that word, this side back there, hustle. I mean, you literally just started hustling day one out of the gate and just went at it.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
Well, it's funny because as we're talking to multiple guests, you know, different sizes of business, we've kind of had everybody on so far. That word just keeps coming back, and it's kind of why we went with the name of the show, because I think a lot of people look at us and they kind of go, nice cars, they're well-dressed, they're living life, they're off on weekends, they're doing all this stuff. And they look at our career as though, you know, anyone can do it and it's going to give them the life they want, right? And I hear it over and over and over again. Why'd you get into real estate? Well, I wanted the schedule. Why'd you get into real estate? Well, I didn't want to work for someone anymore. I just wanted to do my own thing. And here it is, you have that opportunity and you decide, no, I'm just going to go work harder. I'm going to go smash
and
it
for up. Myself.
And for yourself.
I'm going to work this hard and to make someone else rich in the corporate world. If I have the skills and the desire and the drive, why wouldn't I do this?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
We get a lot of sort of newbies and thinking about real estate that listen to the show right now. And what are you telling those people that are listening right now, if they're coming into the industry, thinking about the industry, what would you share with them?
I give them the good, bad, and the ugly. I have had coffee and through social media and through, you know, phone calls many times with people who are considering a career change. And some I've talked to are already licensed and they're at a brokerage that gives them zero training. And they've been in it for a little while and they've sold maybe three. But they were all friends, so they have no idea how to get their business. And then there's others that I've spoke to that I'll ask them, why are you considering this career change? And exactly what you say. And then I ask them about their background, kind of like a mini interview.
Right.
A lot of them don't have, like they may have retail sales experience, or they may have some sort of sales experience, but they don't have you find your business sales experience. And I ran into this in my previous career too. They think, oh yeah, I have a sales background. I can be a sales associate with you. It's like, we don't just wait for people to walk in. Yeah. We're on the phones every day looking for our business. Right. And so I give them the good, bad, and the ugly. I let them know, like, you could go 3 to 4 months without a paycheck.
Well, that's so true, right?
Are you prepared for that? Yeah. And putting a picture of your business card on social media and saying, I'm a realtor now, guess what? You're going to hear crickets. Like, you know, are you willing to do the are you willing to grind? And it really is a grind.
Are you telling me that people don't just call because I say I'm a realtor, I let everybody know, and they're just going to call me and do business? No, I got to do work?
No. No, absolutely not. That doesn't happen. And yeah, and you know, before Ryan and I started our team, we started mentoring new agents just to help, with no agenda or anything like that, just to help. And we realized really quickly that there is a need for our kind of hands-on training and support. And which was a big reason why we thought, you know what, we have to do this, because there is a high failure rate in this industry. And even though I had a strong sales background before coming into this, the support that I had from my peers was everything. It was everything. But I'm not afraid to knock on doors and ask questions and ask for help. And right. A lot of people are, right? So that would be a big advice, is ask everyone, talk to every agent, interview teams, and you know, just know that you are going to have to hustle and grind. You're going to have to pick up the phone. So I have a couple agents on my team who have both been licensed for 2 years and they've never done a cold call. Wow. One of them has only sold, I think, 2 or 3, but they were Sphere. And then the other one has done pretty decent. She had done, I think, maybe 12 in her first year, which is not bad. And then, this year, we're at the end of her second year. And I remember when I interviewed her in the summer, and I said, well, what happened? We had coffee last, you know, the tail end of last year, and you were going to make $100,000 this year. What's going on? Oh, COVID. And I'm like, no.
No.
That I've had my best year yet. And I know a lot of agents have had their best year yet. It doesn't matter. It does not matter what is going on in the market. It does not matter what is going on in the world. If you are consistent, you will be okay. And she said that opened her eyes, because her current team leader at that time at another brokerage,
right,
doesn't talk like that, doesn't have that dialogue. And she's like, I got to be on your team, because wow. And so they're doing cold calls for the first time ever. And both of them, we started off hand dialing, because, you know, doing a power dialer is a little intimidating. And I remember saying, okay, so we role played, you know, here's what you say on a cold call, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, okay, can we role play again? No, you're just going to pick up the phone. Just do it. Don't know what you're supposed to say. Just do it. Okay. And then they're doing it and their voice is shaking or whatever. And I'm like, you did your first call. Yay. They hung up on you, but who cares?
Yeah, you know?
Yeah. And then once I got them on the power dialer, they're like, why didn't you get me on this from day one? They love it. And one of them, the day that I got her on the power dialer, she's like, I think I just want to keep handling. I'm not ready for that yet. I said, well, ready or not, you're still going to do it.
You're still going to do it. Yeah. You know, see the fear and do it anyway, right?
Yeah. And then her first day doing it, she got a lead. And I'm like, you've been hand dialing for 2 weeks now. Have you gotten a lead hand dialing? She goes, no. You got a lead doing the... So, you know, and we went on a listing appointment last night that... Samantha got from Thursday, cold call, and it's a $1.2 million listing we got from cold call. Right. And she's like, I'm loving this. Yeah. So
we always hear cold call doesn't work. And I hate it. I hear that all the time. I hate being on the phones. How are you guys overcoming that? And what are you guys doing to, again, push yourself through and get to that point that you're hustling on it?
You know what? You have to fall in love with the process. You do.
Yeah.
Do I like cold calling every day? No. And I mean, right now I have a pretty big database that I have built from doing cold calls and open houses that I need to nurture. So I've got, you know, how about the girls can do the cold calls right now, and I'm going to get back on track with my database, but I'm missing the I'm hearing them. I'm like, oh, I want to do cold calls. I'm like, no, I got to focus on my database. But,
Well, it sounds like you're in love with the result. It's not the right calls. It's the
no. When do I like get hung up on. No.
No.
Do I like someone saying to me on the other line, like, I'm never moving. You're taking me out of here in a pine box.
Sure.
Okay. Have a good day. You know, like, no. Who would like that? Nobody likes that. But It's the results. It's fast. It's efficient. You know, there's door knocking too. I'm not a door knocker because I don't like it. I'm just being, I just don't. And I get amazing results from cold calls. I'm about efficiency. So if I can speak to 50 people in an hour doing cold calls, why would I spend half a day door knocking?
Getting to the same 50.
No, definitely nothing beats face-to-face for sure. And, you know, we're just solds. Our girls are doing door knocks now with, you know, just solds and things like that. But, you know, it's not to say that everyone has to do cold calls. That's just what I do. And that's what I'm training the, you know, my team to do. And they're seeing the value in it and they love it.
When, and I always get asked, you know, what's the best form of lead gen? And I just simply reply, the one you do.
That's right.
It really doesn't matter what it is that you pick, what stream, there's a million different things that we can all do, but pick one and do it consistently over time and build your database. And I love that you made the correlation there where, you know, your ladies are doing colds, but you've got this database now that you've got to go nurture. And I think that gets lost sometimes when people hear cold calling or door knocking. It's not an end, a means to an end, but there's a point in which you're going to have a big enough database that you don't have to go to colds anymore. You might not have to go to the doors anymore because you've got 2,000 or 3,000 people in a database that'll answer your call and talk to you. So, right. You know, I think it's important for everyone listening to remember, you know, you're picking up the phone, you're going to the doors, you're generating leads online, whatever you're choosing to do, but you're doing it to build that incredible database that you guys have. So you can continue to do business over the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years, however long you want.
That's right. Your database isn't going to build itself.
Right. I love that. Yeah.
And a big thing too is start a database from day one. Use a CRM from day one. I did. So it's been very easy for me to keep it organized and have good drip campaigns and things like that. But yeah, I talked to a lot of agents that, you know, one of my agents that came up from another brokerage, she didn't have a CRM. Had her things in an Excel spread, her people in an Excel spreadsheet. I'm like, how are you organizing that? She goes, I'm not.
You can't.
I'm not. Yeah. So when, you know, she started on the team, like first day she had everyone in the CRM. She was so excited.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, and then you can watch it grow, right? You start today at 200 and next week you got 210 and the week after that you got 230 and you can actually see the fruits of your labor, so to speak. So that's incredible. And so 4 years ago we start. Today, we've got a top producing team, not only in the market center, but in the region. And you guys are headed, you know, that trajectory up is still showing. What does that look like for you guys today? What's the team structure? I know you mentioned you guys are a little bit different than everyone else. So
yeah,
what are you guys doing?
We're not in the office every day. We meet in the office Tuesdays and Thursdays. We do like 9 till 2 or 9 till 3. Right. And from day one, I sat down with them with their calendars and showed them how to time block and explain what that is. That lead gen has to happen first. Get that out of the way so that you can move on with other things. So 9 to 11, you are on the phones and doing your follow-up between those times. And then just mapped out what their typical schedule should look like. And then Tuesdays and Thursdays when we meet, we're all on the phones together. So I can coach them and we do a role play and I can coach them on, if I hear them struggling on a call, I'm like kind of whispering, you know, ask this or ask that. Or then when they hang up the phone, if they didn't turn it into a lead, because I can hear the person that they're calling, right, through the phone. Right. Oh, yeah. When they said this, you could say this, you know, for next time. And then they're writing it down. That's important. That on the spot feedback is really important. And and then after we do our calls, we do script and role play for an hour. And we have a team meeting together where I go through their pipeline, every single person in their database, because they don't have a huge database right now, to make sure that they're being organized properly, tagged properly, and who can we convert? Where are you with this person, with that person? Where are your opportunities coming up? Okay, here's opportunities. They're not on a BRA or a listing agreement yet. What do we need to do to move them to that next step or whatever? And then we role play what those conversations need to sound like and able to move. Because I'm teaching them from day one. It's not just about doing lead gen. It's a lead conversion business. So we have, Ryan is amazing with templates And I tell him what I need. So I want to track this and this and this. So it's got to look like this. And then it's automatically going to calculate this way and what have you. And then he builds it for me. Wow. So we have that stuff done already just from he and I. And then now on the team, we've got everybody set up on their own, tracking. So we're keeping track. Okay, did you hit your contact goal? Did you hit your lead and nurture goal this week? Did you hit your appointment goal this week, right? Okay, you now have a deficit. What's that going to look like for next week? You know, so it's the accountability and that's the role playing and how it's not just accountability. It's how am I going to help you get to the next step?
Right. You're running a business. Yeah. I'm hearing, right? I mean, you've thought of everything or you're thinking of everything as you're going, you're adding and adjusting as you seem fit, but there's a system here that guarantees success.
Yeah, exactly. So it's teaching them that from day one. And then we do an education component, whether that be market intelligence or, we watch videos and then we talk about our ahas and okay, what can we implement in our business? Because again, we're building it together. Yesterday, we had an amazing brainstorming session on video content. Because they really want to get into video, but they're, as most agents, terrified. Yeah. And I have no problem with the camera. And so, yeah, we had a great brainstorming session yesterday on things that we can do. So I'm excited about what we're going to be doing with that. And it's great. I love their ideas. They're bringing ideas to the team. And it's not just what I think. It's what do you think that we can do to increase business and what happens. Very collaborative. Right. So that's pretty much it. So they like that. They like, and I, when I chat with them before we even start, I let them know I'm not the traditional 9 to 5. We're in the office together. I did that for, over 2 decades, having to be somewhere at a specific time. And I don't want that. I don't want that structure. And I don't want them to have that structure. It's like, right. I'm not your boss. We're in this together and we're building something amazing together. We're all independent contractors. But we're only interested in working with people who are all in. I want no deadwood on my team, all in, or it's not going to work because that's my mentality. And I'm a high D. And if you're not all in, I can't live in that world. Like I will confront you and it'll affect our relationship. Right.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I love that you're so, genuine about your process, right? You're not recreating what somebody else did. You don't really care. This is what I do. This is what I like it to look like. And so you're going to attract those people that are like you and want the same sort of stuff, right? And so very, very cool to hear. How does Ryan sort of fit in with all of that? I mean, he's helping in the back end. He's also licensed. He's go-to for everything. I mean, how has this made your relationship better? I mean, for everyone.
We scratch our heads. Like, how can we be together 24/7 and not hate each other? Like, how? But since day one, we've just been obsessed with each other. I don't know how to explain it. And we've always supported each other. Like when I was teaching aerobics, he was making because he was a DJ. So he was making my music.
Oh, no, you got it. We got to bet. Ryan was a DJ.
Oh, you didn't know that.
No, that's news to me.
That's how we met.
Come on. I got to hear that story. What do you mean that's how you met? Were you in the club?
I was a huge club girl. Club girl in the, early 90s, mid 90s. And he DJed from the age of 14. He started at, Weber Street in Waterloo. It's been a whole bunch of different restaurants, but it was Casey's, I think, or something like that. And they used to have dance floor in the late 80s, early 90s. There was a dance floor. And so he started off as a young teenager doing that. But anyhow, I met him when I was 17. Thursday nights is where you went to a place called Duffer's in Kitchener. And he was the DJ there, had fake ID. And that's where he went on a Thursday night. And I've always loved music. And I went up to the DJ booth and like, what is this song? Like, this is before the internet when you can just look up everything, right? Like you had to have a resource to find. So I'm like, what is this song? And this is when trance music was really big. And he told me and I'd write it down. I'm like, okay, cool. Okay, I'm going to go look for this, this record and blah, blah, blah. So every week when I would go to the DJ booth, go to the club, I'd hey, can you play those three, my three favorite songs? So he would play them every week.
And for anyone listening, I mean, DJs don't normally play your songs. There has to be a connection there of some sort. I mean, we watch it happen all the time. You request a song and the DJ's like, yeah, sure, bud. And they walk away, right?
Right.
But he kept playing
yours. He played my songs. But my ID got taken away at some point, not that club, a different club. And then I was like, okay, well, I'm almost 19, so whatever. When I was 20 at this point, we used to always go to the Lyric Nightclub, downtown Kitchener. But I remember one night the line was too long and we just didn't want to wait in the line. So my friends were like, let's go to Inner City. So I don't know if you were familiar with that club, but mine was the DJ, which I had no idea. I hadn't seen him since. We never exchanged numbers or anything like that.
Right.
And so we went to Inner City and first thing I would do every time I would go to a club, no matter where, it could be Toronto, Hamilton, I would go straight to the DJ booth and I would say, you need to play house music. I was a brat. I was a big brat. And so I went to the DJ booth, of course, and there was a lineup because the DJ booth overlooked the dance floor. So you had to go up the stairs and they had a rope and Ryan had his guy there. So Ryan never did the talking. He just liked to do the music. So his BJ, Steve, was guarding the rope. What do you want to hear? You know, that kind of thing. So funny. And when Ryan saw me, he was like, Marcia. Because when I was 17, I tried to change my name to Marcia because I thought it made me sound more exotic. And I was named after Marcia Brady and I hated it my whole life.
Yeah.
So he knew me as Marcia and I had forgotten. My friends were like, Marcia. Yeah. So anyways, he was like, you let her in. So he opened the rope. I was able to actually go and stand beside the DJ. It was, you know, and I requested my songs. He's like, I haven't played that in 3 years. What? 3 years. We don't play that anymore. I was like, oh, okay. No problem. You know, and then whatever, went on with our night. And then I think 3 or 4 weeks later, we went back because we continued to go on to the other club. We went back and I was like, oh, I'm going to go up and just say hi. So I'm waiting in the line again. He opens the rope and lets me go up ahead of everybody. And he pulls out the 12-inch. And he's like, I've been bringing this every night. Now you show up. Yeah.
Wow.
And so then he played it and he had Steve dedicate it to me. I'm in the middle of the dance floor in heaven, right? Oh, I'm hearing my song. I haven't heard it in years. And so then afterwards I went up and I said, you know, I teach aerobics. Would you make me an aerobics tape?
You made me a playlist.
And he's like, well, I have no idea how to make an aerobics tape, but I'm sure I can figure it out. He's like, I'll make you a tape if you go to a movie with me.
Oh, there it is.
There you go. The rest is history.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's how we met. So yeah, we've always supported, you know, each other. Like he was a DJ and I would go to the clubs, you know, and bring my friends there and whatever. And then, you know, with the aerobics, like there was a few times that he would DJ a class live.
And that's like the popular thing to do now, right? That's where the trends have gone and you guys are doing.
Yeah, we're talking like 95. That's when we first started dating. It was 1995, you know? Yeah. And he came quite a few times and over like a 10 or 15 year period, he would come in. For the first long time, I was in a women's only club, but they let him in and he would just put his stuff up and he would like DJ live, like mixing the tunes together, sped up while I'm teaching. Oh, it was amazing. So it was just a no-brainer that, you know, when getting into this business, it was, well, of course he's going to help me. His strength is the administrative side of things. You know, I remember we got our first computer. I didn't use a computer until I had to for work, but he's always figured them out and tinkered with them. And it's just natural for his brain to figure that stuff out. So when it comes to the tech and the admin stuff, it's just easy for him. Yeah. So he does the administrative stuff for the team. So we have our own intranet with links to wherever they need to go to make it simple. That's where their tracker is, their business plan is. Everything is in one spot. So he built that. When they need to order business cards or things like that, like it's all done. And then all of the trackers for what we track in our business. So he supports that way. He uploads the neighborhoods to Mojo. He scrubs against the do not call list. Like he does all of the support that way, but he's also a buyer's agent. So he works with our buyers. He does all of our paperwork. We call him the Legal Beagle. If you need to know anything about Rico, like he reads that for fun. You could call him And he will correct you and he will, you know, so I'd say that's how he's supporting us. We do acknowledge before long, we will need to have a part-time administrator because he can't wear that many hats long-term.
And it's really nice that there was no ego around it, right? I mean, that's, you know, your strength is being in front of the client, you know, convincing them to list with you, you know, growing the organization and doing some of the things you're doing. And that just wasn't Ryan's strength, or at least it sounds like his strengths were elsewhere. Not that he couldn't do that, but he had other things that he was better than you at, and there was no ego. And no. I hear it all the time in partnerships where it's like, no, we both want to be on the sign, or we both want to be at the front of the room. And you guys just sort of said, no, we're in this thing together. And
yeah. And you know, our whole relationship, he's been like that. Yeah. You shine. He likes to be the man behind the woman kind of thing. So I'm like, okay, that's probably why it works so well, because I like to be the center of attention. But when we go on listing appointments together, we've done that many times. Like, we always get the business because people love us as a couple.
Yeah, they love the dynamic.
Yeah, they do. And then we can relate to other couples and things like that. And so I encourage him, you know, I want you to be in the spotlight more. I want you to, and he's like, no, that's your thing. So, okay, no problem.
That's awesome. Well, yeah. We're almost out of time, but before we get there, you're saying you're having your best year ever. And to remind everyone again, we're talking 4 years, we're in a global pandemic. We got shut down for COVID. We were deemed essential. And so we're still here working away, and you're having your best year ever. Mm-hmm. Now, is there something special you're doing, or is this just the culmination of the previous 3 years that has you at this point?
I wouldn't say special. I would say that it is, I lead gen all the time. You know, I'm not necessarily doing cold calls all the time at this point. Right. I did start heavy with the cold calls at the beginning of the year. And then when COVID hit, I stopped doing the cold calls, and I actually haven't done them since. I've been just nurturing my database. But it's great, because at this point now, we always have stuff in the pipeline. I remember times where there's absolutely nothing in the pipeline. It's like, okay, I'm back on the phones now. And I've always said to Ryan, when he's like, oh my God, nothing's in the pipeline, you know, it's like, don't worry, give me 2 weeks. It'll be full again. No problem. And it always is. But now it's nice that we always have stuff, but that's, it's a combination of, if I see the pipeline starting to dwindle, I don't wait until it's done. I'm getting ahead of it. And yes, a culmination of the last, you know, 3.5 years or so of being consistent, like the phone is starting to ring now. My referrals, I have a lot more referral business now than I've ever had previously this year. So it's starting to
get there.
Come to fruition. All that hard work, is starting to come to fruition now. But I'm not taking it for granted. I'm not resting on my laurels and thinking, oh, I got it made in the shade now. No.
Well, as quickly as you get there, you can fall right off the
absolutely
as well, right? And so if anyone's wondering, what are you guys, if it's okay to ask, where are you guys going to finish the year? Right? You know, we're sitting down in 2 months from now, and we've accomplished this great 2020 year. What does that look like for the team? How much production did you guys do? And where will we end?
Well, Michael, so this time last year, I was thinking about my goal for 2020. I was like, let's do 50 transactions. And Ryan's like, do you have the stamina to do 50? I was like, oh yeah, you're right. Cause I am still dealing with some health things, you know, adrenal fatigue and things like that. Right. I'm like, yeah, you're right. Okay. Let's make the goal 40. Well, okay. Yeah, we'll do 40. And here we are. I think we're at 35 or something. And I'm like, you know what? I think we'll get close to 50, absolutely, even though my goal was 40. Right. Absolutely. And that's just us. Cause we just started the team 2 months ago. Right.
Right.
So next year, you know, it's interesting because I was talking to Emily yesterday at the office, and she's like, what's your goal for next year? And I told her, she's like, yeah, but you've already done this year. I'm like, yeah, you're right. What am I doing? So I don't know if it's rude to talk about GCI, but I mean, I 60 deals next year, probably. Yeah. Just me.
So 700,000 in gross commission income.
Yeah. Why not?
Why not? I love that.
It'll be close to 500 this year. So then I was like, yeah, let's do 500,000. Because 4 years ago when I started this, I knew I would make six figures. I did not ever think 500,000. Are you kidding me? It'll take me 15 years to do something like that, right?
Right. And 4 years later, here you are.
Like, what? How did this happen? I don't know. Ryan cautions me a lot too, because I do find sales easy. I find all of this easy. Yeah. And I don't want to say easy, like it's not hard work. It's just more, it's like, it's kind of effortless for me. And he's like, stop telling people that it's easy, because it's easy for you. Is it though? But I'm seeing that now. And especially since we started mentoring people and we're training people, I'm like, you're right. It is easy for me. But yeah, so I was like, okay, I'm going to make 500,000 next year.
There you go.
And then Emily challenged me. Thank you, Emily. She's like, why on earth? What? I'm like, yeah, you're right. That makes no sense. Yeah. So.
Well, and anyone listening, Emily Sherman's fantastic real estate agent. I mean, she's probably over 300,000 in GCI herself. And so here are two like-minded individuals, two powerhouse ladies. Yeah. That have decided, hey, you know what, let's raise the bar and elevate it even more. And knowing Emily, I know that you setting your goal higher is going to push her to set her goal.
Well, and I challenge her when it comes to video. Why aren't you in front of the camera when you're doing your listing videos? She's like, right? So I do love that about this business. I like surrounding myself with people that don't accept.
That's awesome.
The status quo, right? They see that you have the potential for more. Right. And yeah.
I love that. So for everyone listening at home, they want a piece of what you've got. They want to be a part of the team. Is there a process? Is there a way to find you? Hey, if I just have a question and I want to connect with you, what's the best way to do it?
They can call me or text me direct. I get a lot of DMs on Instagram. I'm on Instagram more than anything. So yeah, they can reach me there. It's just Marcia Grove Realty. And then, they can text me anytime. I get messages all the time. They can also reach out to Ryan when it comes to administrative things or clauses in your offers, things like that. He knows every clause for every scenario. It blows my mind.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's amazing. So Instagram sounds like one of the easiest places, Marcia Grove Realty. Go and give Marcia a follow. She's built this amazing team. I know they're looking for incredible rock stars that want to work hard and want to go get it. I'm Andre Chin with the Real Estate Hustle Podcast. We're on Instagram. We're on social media. We're on every single podcast outlet, Spotify, Apple Music, Google. Please find us. Marcia, thank you so much for sharing with our listeners at home. It's been an incredible journey getting to know you. Hoping we can have you back next year around this time so we can kind of go, did we hit that massive goal that we just increased?
And, no pressure.
No pressure at all. Just adding a little sprinkle of accountability on top from our hundreds of viewers that are listening to you.
I can handle it.
Thank you so much again. I appreciate you.
Okay. Thank you. It's fun.